Be welcome, all of you, this morning, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May He bless us from the riches of His grace. As the singers have just sung, praise, honor, and glory and worship be unto Him. For this reason we have come here, to give Him the thanks and the praise for what He has done for us. And the singers have sung that may the Lord send His Spirit and His power of His Holy Spirit. Yes, we are stretching forth unto it, that all the promises He has given us, especially the promise of the Father, may come true in our midst. Let us firstly stand up and ask the Lord for His blessing. Beloved Lord and Savior, we thank You that we may come to You also in this morning hour. Bless us all together, Lord, while we hear Your word. Let us not only be hearers of Your word, but let us receive everything in a good heart, that You strengthen our faith so that we can do what You have said to us, whatever it concerns, whether in our personal life or church life, whether it's with colleagues or with the behavior among one another. May You have prepared everything for us that we can walk in it. But especially, Lord, continue to prepare us for Your soon appearing. We thank You for Your faithfulness and for Your grace. Amen. Firstly, let us sing a song. Song number 14. Song number 14 from these little booklets. Showers of Blessing. This is the promise of love. Hymn number 14.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise and thanks for what we have sung here. And I believe this is what is in our hearts and what we have desire for. Here in the third stanza, give us the time of refreshing. This must be alive in us, that our longing goes to it. Give us the time of refreshing. Fulfill thy word now. We can stand on it, and the time of refreshing will come. We will continue to praise the Lord. Firstly, I don't want to forget to extend all the greetings which have reached us. There are a large number of them. Churches from Romania, from Cluj, from Timișoara, they are sending greetings. The brethren from Edmonton, Canada. Our brother Wendell is also here. He comes from Edmonton. He is in our midst. Be welcome. I forgot it yesterday. Then from the brothers from Lyon, from brother Hervé and brother Manasseh. Then our brother Müller on the Baltic Sea. Our brethren from Paris, brother Didier and Gilbert, brother Vincent from Liège, and from Portugal, brother Oleg, brother José, and today we have some brothers in our midst who have visited us to have fellowship with the Lord, and yesterday we had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. I was really glad, I must say honestly. Such an atmosphere, it strengthened our faith and it edified all of us. I was happy that we could have this meal together with us to memorize the death of our Lord. Our brothers from Switzerland, they visited us. May the Lord reward you and all the others who traveled a long distance to have fellowship with us. May the Lord bless you. We have our brother from Johannesburg, brother Justin in our midst, and from Kinshasa, brother Joseph from Kinshasa. And Brother Michael is in our midst from London, but he's taking care for the brethren in Pakistan. Then, whom did we overlook? The Lord does not overlook anyone. He sees our heart, and we are glad that we can have part in what God is doing right now. Perhaps we sing a couple of choruses, and then Brother Borg will read us the word of introduction. Let us sing chorus number 11. Chorus number 11. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? I forgot to greet our brother Paul Nyagi from Nairobi. He brought greetings, God willing. After the proclamation, we will call a few brothers so that you can extend greetings and thank the Lord together with us. Let us sing chorus number 12. Chorus number 12. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Only believe. Amen. Jesus is here. That's how we sang. And this we believe. We not only sing it, but we believe that the Lord is in our midst, in this, even this morning, to bless us anew. We are grateful for last night, for the word that we heard, for the Lord's Supper that we could have together and with our Lord, and for the foot washing. I believe the Lord has blessed us richly last night. And also this morning, we trust that the Lord will bless us, that He will manifest and reveal His presence, and that He will help us anew and bless us. We have sung, "Showers of blessing shall fall." May we not only sing it, but may it be revealed this morning in truth. Before we pray together, I will read a psalm, namely Psalm 103, a few verses. Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Praise and thanks. Do not forget all His benefits, what He has done for you and for me. We are human beings. That's how we sing in a song. Forgetful and weak. But the Lord, may He give us this grace never to forget what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Praise and thanks be to the name of the Lord, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise and thanks. For us elderly people, this is a wonderful word. who satisfy their mouth with good things. May it happen, may it be revealed in my life and in our lives, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Has the Lord not made known his ways to us also, the mysteries of the scriptures? Didn't he reveal them to us? Are we not grateful for it? Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Praise and thanks. I'm grateful to God for it. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Praise and thanks be to the name of the Lord. Perhaps up to here. Let us now rise and pray together and thank the Lord and ask for his blessing for this service. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be gathered here this morning, to come into your presence and to thank you for all the benefits, for all the good things you have done for us until this day, for all the ways you have led us. And we thank you that you yourself are in our midst. We greeted one another, and we greet you and welcome you in our midst as the living God, who revealed himself through Jesus Christ. Lord, take this meeting into your hands. Work and lead through your Holy Spirit. Come with us into your own. You know all the needs among your people, also among us this morning, in our midst. Help us. Be gracious to us. Heal the sick in our midst, the weak. Please, Lord, grant it this morning, where we are gathered in your name, where we look up to you. Let the full victory be manifest and revealed through Golgotha in our midst, for the glory of thy name. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord that we know our Lord is still calling today. But the question is, who will come to him? Who wants to draw near to him? Who wants to be saved? Who wants to accept redemption? No one wants it. He calls, he knocks, but people don't want to know anything about him, perhaps only in their minds, but their hearts are empty, closed. But we probably heard it a short time ago in the sermon of our dear brother Branham, as he said, our Lord wants to take full possession of our lives, of our hearts. He doesn't just want to be let in a little, but he wants to take full possession of our hearts. And for this we are grateful that he is still calling us today, and that we can also hurry to him this evening, asking him for his blessing, his strength and his help. Before we pray together, let's read a few verses from James 1 before we pray. Perhaps from verse 19, James 1 from verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And who wants to deceive themselves? No one does. Here it says, and this is a very important saying, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Maybe only up to here, this precious and holy word of God. I believe it is so clear that everyone can understand what is meant here. May God help us. May he give us grace and strength, all of us, that we not only come here to hear, but as it is written, as we have read it, that we become doers of the word. Brothers and sisters, from our point of view, it is difficult to become, but God is able to bring us there, and we trust in him tonight. He will bless us from the riches of his grace. He will speak to us. Let us stand up now and ask him for his blessing. Dear God, we are gathered here again in your glorious and marvelous name of Jesus. We thank you for all the precious words. Everywhere we open the scriptures, words of life can be found and read. And Lord, grant us the grace not to be vain hearers, but to be doers of thy word. Let us, faithful God, walk in faith, and let us also do the works that your word demands. Lord, give it to me, give it to us, O Lord. We need you, we need it, Lord, that we not only talk about your word, that we not only hear your word, but that we can go and bear fruit, O Lord. Give grace to your people. Give grace to me and to all of us, O God. We are gathered here. Lord, your word alone gives us true comfort, gives us true life. Lord, take from us all that may still stand in your way. Your word says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Lord, grant that we may be free from all these things, and let us walk in meekness and humility, and heed your word, Lord. Give us grace, Lord. We ask you to have mercy on us all, even now in this hour. May your name be honored. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I wish we could keep singing so that we could be joyful in the Lord. Preaching is getting harder and harder. Singing we would still manage with God's help. Yes, we need to address the concerns of individuals more. We need to take them to our hearts, as if we were the ones in hospital, waiting for help and salvation. You know how it is. As long as a person is healthy, they don't know what they have. And when things aren't so good, that's when you realize it. Then you want to be grateful, and then the time of complaining begins. These are hardships that you realize in life, but thank God, it's not too late. I know that most of God's children seek and find their answers in the Holy Scriptures. And it has certainly proven itself hundreds of thousands of times that people in an emergency situation ask God to answer them, and He does. But there are also cases where you read a word here and there and still can't find an answer to what is bothering you at the moment. Brother Branham probably gave the instruction and said, if you have something and have not yet received the answer, go before the Lord. But where are the people today? And we want to admit that quite openly. Where are the people today? I mean us now. Where are we when we have to go before the face of God, when we are forced to go, not only want to go, but are forced to go in order to receive the answer? But with God, all things are possible. And so we want to believe that despair will not set in, but that faith will prove itself and God's answer will come. Now we have a Bible study today, and that is always the most difficult. It should actually be a prayer meeting. I see that Sister Inge is here again. Yes, we'll soon be full, but we'll only be full when the room is full. And when we can thank the Lord without a care in the world, that's what we are all waiting for. But we must learn to give thanks to God in every situation, for so it is written. I had the thoughts I wanted to say. Yes, I gave the greetings. And then I wanted to deal briefly with a few scriptures. We've already heard from the letter of James, And the question has already been raised about the extent to which the word of the Lord has been able to work in us and also the Spirit of God. There are two or three things that I cannot believe, and that shouldn't surprise anyone, but they simply exist. And I hope that you can agree with my opinion, even when it comes to not being able to believe something. For the most part, we go along with what can be believed, but sometimes it can be the other way around. So, as not to stall you, I cannot believe that from one fountain comes sweet and bitter. Can't you all believe that either? No. And the reason I can't believe it is because the Bible says so. There are things I believe because the Bible says so. And there are things I don't believe because the Bible says so. And the Bible says, from one fountain cannot come sweet and bitter. The fountain can be moved a little. It can maybe even be stirred up. Maybe. But it cannot be turned 180 degrees. It cannot be changed. What's inside has to come out. There's no other way. The second was, along the same lines, I can't believe that children of God have devilish natures. I can't. I can believe that children of God go through trials. I can believe that they fall flat on their faces. I can also believe that they get up again. I can believe many things. But I can't believe that children of God have the devil's nature. I can't believe it. And we could perhaps continue this list for the purpose of self-examination. And we don't want to apply the standard to others, but to ourselves, and ask ourselves to what extent God could come into His own in us, whether new divine life could really be revealed according to the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, probably 18-19, or 20, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. But now, there are still words of scripture that we must also take to heart. For example, Ephesians 4, put off the old man. There are also things that can still cling to a person despite inner renewal. It can be habits. It can be all kinds of things. And then you have to recognize them and put them off. This verse is emphasized in James 1, 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And behind it, it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Where does it begin and where does it end? Where does self-deception begin and where does it end? We know what others should do, but here we are each addressed personally. And I mean for the purpose, because God wants to help us. He doesn't want to leave us in this state, but He wants to help. And then everything is summarized in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. This is also possible, that we deceive our own heart. We no longer feel it. We no longer realize that things are not as they should be. And here, again, as we have sometimes read, is the tongue that needs to be held in check. If only we could learn to speak only when what we have to say could be a blessing to others. If we could start by not burdening others, whether through suspicion, rumor, or whatever, but by serving and helping one another. How often are people burdened with things that they cannot bear, that they cannot cope with, for which they have no solution? And yet it is written, cast all your burdens on Him. Each of us, without exception, could certainly talk about what moves me or you or us. But that is not what we are there for. But as children of God, we have the task of being available to the Lord. And by talking over and again, things can be rehearsed 100 times unless God solves them and gives an answer. Otherwise, we talk and talk without it being of any use. By the way, it's probably in the Sermon on the Mount. I had to think about it just before the service today. Even if something is said about us or about someone, doesn't matter at all now. And if it's not true, we should be happy about it. We should even rejoice. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. What it is really about is basically this. Just as the Lord and all who have borne His word were the enemy's target, so it is today. And the devil will receive the Pope with high honors among 80,000 Muslims in the football stadium in Casablanca, and leave him alone. All you'll hear on the news is that 80,000 Muslims, and you all know of the conflict between Muslims and Christians, but the man who has already fooled the whole world will go there, and people keep interrupting him with enthusiasm, and he is not one of them, but he is the one who has to play this role. And things are going very well. I heard two people, probably in Hamburg, at the airport. That's a joke now. One said to the other in English, "Do you know why the Pope always kisses the ground when he arrives somewhere in the country?" The other said, "No, how should I know?" He said, "Anyone who has flown with Alitalia thanks God anyway when they arrive safely." But that's just by the way. For me, today is about much more. Not about these external things at all. Let the devil take those that are somehow intended for him or belong to him. But let God also assert his claim on his people. That's what it's all about. It's not about emphasizing or highlighting the negative aspects, but about drawing a comparison and saying, "Lord, where and how do we stand before you? What are you going to do with us? How far have you been able to go with us? And what lies ahead of us?" Firstly, we absolutely must learn the spiritual rules of the game for being a believer. It won't work any other way. And I would like to throw a word into the room, the word church. Whenever something comes up, the word church is used globally, even if only one person is affected in some way. And I don't think that's right. If there is something that is inconsistent, then you shouldn't generally say, "Yes, it's not right in the church and the whole church." No, not the whole church. But somewhere it may not be right. But the church should not be blamed for everything across the board. For the church is unreprovable. There are individual things, whether in your life or mine, that we have to deal with. And if we are honest and open, after all, we have made many a decision in life, convinced that they were made before God. It later turned out that this was probably not the case, and I could go one step further. When people have even operated gifts, 100% convinced that the Lord has spoken, and the will of God has been revealed, it seemed. It didn't always have to be like that. After all, God alone is the infallible one. He who has never erred and can never err, who never has to reverse a decision or say, "I should probably do that differently now." But we, as humans, we have to admit that we cannot make all decisions correctly. And if that is the case, then we shouldn't dwell on it and shouldn't hold others back either. But we must continue on our path with God together. There is no other way. We are not here to stop each other. We are here to encourage one another, to comfort each other, to support each other in order to go forward with the Lord. But we are also here to let God's word speak justice, and that too must and will come, but not according to our will. And God's decision may always be different from what we decide. Let's be honest. Two people have different opinions, but each of them is convinced that he or she or he, whoever, doesn't matter, is right. And the one prays, Lord, I thank you that you have revealed this to me in this way. Blessed be your name. And the other says the same thing. Lord, I thank you that you have made this so clear to me that it shines as clearly as the sun in the sky. It's clear to both of them, each for themselves. But there is nothing in common. Yes, what then? What then? And this is not an isolated case. It happens again and again. And that is why we must set out to let the Word of God prevail in all our decisions. Not as we feel, how comfortable we are. For who is not comfortable when they think they are right? And you only feel good when you are put in the wrong. But this is not about whether someone is right or wrong. But I believe that we should endeavor inwardly with all sincerity to let God be right, that God's word is right. And then it can still happen that one person takes a scripture to help them to be right, and the other hasn't been asleep either, and he takes the other scripture and helps himself to be right. Now both are in the right again, each even with a scripture. But then it still doesn't apply. Then a matter must be balanced and explored with other scriptures until it becomes clear before the face of God what is now valid before Him. There was one or more scriptures that I actually wanted to read, but when you come to the front here and are not quite prepared, but here we have some very important references in 1 Peter chapter 4. From verse 7, we are told, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. Divine love, and we have said this again and again, has already covered. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But now it goes on here. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And now comes the verse. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Earlier we spoke about consecrating our tongue and our mouth to the Lord. And here it goes so far that our words, that is, if anyone speaks, let his words be as the oracles of God. And you all know what the oracles of God are. Thus saith the Lord. These are oracles of God. Words that have come from his mouth. So we must say what God has said. And only then has God really spoken. Otherwise, we have spoken past him and thus past the point. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And that is what we all want. But now let's go to chapter 5 from verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, you all know the scripture. Now, from verse 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. Some things have been explained before, and then it is summarized and said with the exhortation here, testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. Peter also had a shepherd's heart. As I said, you can read it for yourselves. He said a lot here in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then what goes with it? He concludes in verse 11, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. The point today is that God wants to show us the state of grace. The grace of God in the situations of life, in the decisions, whatever they may be, and also the grace of God revealed in the church. A person who has been given grace will pass on this grace because he cannot do otherwise. Here, in 2 Corinthians 7, Paul writes, there are some things here too, from verse 2, receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts. Here the Apostle Paul continues the train of thought. Let us find entrance into your hearts. We have wronged no one, ruined no one. We have defrauded no man. Perhaps I can say the same. I know you have to be slow with self-evaluation, but I hope to God I can say the same. What God wants is access to our hearts. He wants His Word to penetrate us. And then He says of the sadness in verse 9, Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing.
Damit ihr von unserer Seite in keiner Weise Schaden erlittet. Ja.
For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. In everything there are always these two things, a sigh for my sake. Romans 8 speaks of the normal groaning of those who have received the Spirit as a first fruits gift, and they are groaning within themselves, together with the whole creation, longing for the manifestation of the children of God. And then James writes, Grudge not one against another, brethren. Behold, the Lord standeth before the door. It always depends on how a case lies and what it is. Here we have heard about sorrows. There is one godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation. This is a godly, a spiritual sorrow. But the sorrow of the world, then we read here, it worketh death. It can only work death where there was life before. If there was no life before, it cannot bring about death. Who is to die twice? There are only a few. But the point here is to differentiate. When the enemy has a hand in it, and we realize that it is about worldly matters, and we allow ourselves to be dragged down, and they can drag us into spiritual death. And therefore, it is necessary to discern how the matter lies and how it affects us in order to recognize whether salvation and blessing come from it, whether an inner repentance, as it is written here, brings salvation not to be repented of, or, as it says here, the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. If something is from God, then we will receive God's inward approval for it, and the Lord will be able to put His blessing on it. If the enemy has a hand in it, it is of a worldly nature, and we are drawn into it and forfeit our spiritual life for the sake of things that are earthly and human, and that must not happen. In every case, we must distinguish what it is all about, and we can recognize this by the effects it has in our lives. There was one more scripture I wanted to read. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 31 to the end. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, so everything is included here, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. A person who lives for God will always have the salvation of others in mind. Those who cannot do this, with what they say, with what they do, with what they decide, must examine themselves before God. Here it says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. In everything, and again, one thing is revealed, the received, the experienced, the lived love of God. And a person who has experienced and received this love of God in this way is compelled to pass it on, to share it. If it is accepted, we are happy. If it is not accepted, we are saddened. But we want to live for God's pleasure, not for our own benefit, but that all may be helped and that no one may fall short of God's grace and no one be put to shame. There were two or three more scriptures, but the time is up and we wanted to pray that God would come to his right. Everywhere you go, there are hardships. They are not only here, they are also elsewhere. And the cry of God's children is getting stronger and stronger. May the faith that makes us capable of acting be added to this. As Brother Branham once said, it is not the sword of the Spirit alone that counts, but the strong hand of faith that can take the sword and wield it. We hope and believe that it will be soon. The sword of God, the word of God, must be felt once again. There must be a divine judgment, a divine order and orientation, a rebuke. Everything simply has to come so that the Lord can look down on us with favor and not be angry with us, but bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. Let us take to heart what we have heard, that God can come into his own in us and through us. It must begin with your heart and mine, your tongue and mine being circumcised, and that we weigh up the things we say. We all know that one or the other is no better and no worse. What moves us, we want or even have to pass on from time to time. But let us learn to bring everything to the Lord. He is the only one who has the solution to my problem and yours, who has the solution to all problems. Because basically, it is the Lord who wants to and will do everything in all. We are the ones He wants to do it for. And if we can believe, we will also see the glory of God. But let's start by talking about this together. Even if someone makes decisions, I say this honestly, on the outside, things may even look quite clear, and no one knows the closer circumstances, but everyone makes judgments and doesn't know what about. Let us spare ourselves any judgment and wait until the word is fulfilled that is written. Do not judge before the time, until what is hidden in the hearts is made manifest. And then we will not judge by hearsay, but we will be glad that we have not been condemned by God. We must also recognize this grace. Some people get into situations without wanting to. If you were to ask many people who have gone through difficult things, did you want this? Was this your decision? No. They would give free rein to the cry of the soul and say, never ever did I want this. And yet, it may be one way for one person and another for another. But one thing is certain. Whoever has the love of God placed in their heart, all things work together for good, if not for the best. Even if we drink something deadly, it will not harm us. By the grace of God, we will emerge with His victory and His power. I expect something from God soon. We can't go on like this, and I believe we all do. But we must prepare the ground for the Lord. We have to recognize what stands in His way, and we have to clear it up, not just with words and in good faith, but as we heard, faith without works is dead in itself. And we can sit here under the sound of the word and open the mirror and look into it, and we see ourselves as on an X-ray. And then we close the Bible and forget what we looked like and only think about what others look like. And what good has the looking in the mirror done us? Nothing at all. No, by the grace of God, we will make ourselves available to Him with all our heart and soul and ask Him that His will be done by grace. Amen.